Good morning. It's good to see the house so filled after the long summer, it seems like. Why don't we have the children come forward? The children want to come forward and sit up here, and we'll... I don't think they're all going to fit on that one bench there, but we'll give it a shot. We'll talk a little bit this morning. Lincoln. Okay. All right. You sit down. This is truly a blessing to have this many children in church. Do you know that? There are hundreds of churches that would love to have our problem that we have right here. Not enough room on the first bench. All right. I have two little stories to tell you all this morning. And the first one is about a man named Elisha. Have you all ever heard of Elisha? It's not Elijah, but this was Elisha. And guess what? He was a prophet that God spoke through. But one day, he was going from one town to another. And guess what? I'm going to read what happened. I'm going to say guess what again. It says, "Then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youth came from the city and mocked him and said to him, 'Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head.'" He had a bald head like me. And there were some boys and girls maybe that were making fun of him because he had a bald head and he couldn't grow any hair. But you... Sorry. Anyway. I'm not... Anyway, but you know what Elisha did? So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. So he called a curse on them, and bears came out of the woods and chewed them up. It doesn't say they killed them, but it says they chewed up 42 of them. And that's more than what we have right here this morning. How many do we have, Jerry? 27? So it's almost twice as many children as what was here this morning. All right? They were very disrespectful to this man called Elisha. That was God's prophet. And now I'm going to tell you about another story. And this one is about two brothers and a sister. Okay? And they got punished. One of them got really punished. And this is about Miriam and Aaron and Moses. Okay? The Bible says, "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses." Who is Moses? Who is he? He was the leader of who? The Israelites? Yep, he was the leader of the children of Israel. And God had asked Moses to lead them out of Egypt. It says that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. So they were like, what's so special about Moses? They were kind of jealous of all that he had. But they spoke against him, and God didn't like that. But have you ever had your mom or dad say, "TJ, Bodie, Noah, come here"? Or how about, "Max and Lindsay, come here"? Has mom ever done that?
Yeah.
But guess what? That's what the Lord did. How would you like that? If the Lord would call you out and say, "Come here." It said, "Suddenly Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Ooh, uh-oh, somebody's in trouble. So then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. So they knew they were in trouble because they had talked about bad about Moses. And the Lord said, you know what? I've got prophets, and I speak to them sometimes in dreams and visions. He said, but Moses, I speak to him face to face, and he listens to me, and he has seen my form. He has seen the Lord. Okay? And he said, why do you think you can speak against Moses? Just because you think you're just as good as he is, when you're not. God has spoken to him face to face. It says, so the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from the tabernacle, what do you think happened? It says, suddenly Miriam became leprous, white as snow. So she got this bad skin thing on her, and it was really bad. They didn't have a cure for it. And Aaron said to his brothers, so these were brothers and sisters, said, Aaron said to Moses, oh my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one whose flesh is consumed, when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, please heal her, O God, I pray. So Moses was sad for his sister even that, because of what happened to her. So the Lord said to Moses that she has to stay out of the camp 7 days, and after 7 days, then she will be healed. And she was. So, we have to be careful when we speak against people. We speak like a teachers and stuff like that. Teachers and mom and dad, we have to speak respectfully to them. And we can't talk bad about them, okay? God has put them in authority over us, just like God put Moses in authority over the children of Israel. And we need to be respectful to them, okay? All right, you can go back. Just remember to be respectful. All right, my sermon today is, I guess if I had a title, it would just be respect. It's very, very elaborate, I know. I've been thinking the last couple weeks, if you think about our nation and where we are as a country and where it seems like the whole world is kind of, there is no respect anymore, no respect for the rule of law. No respect for teachers, no respect for anyone, no respect for God. You know, you see a lot in the news about the NFL is starting up soon again, and there's no respect for the big deal about the national anthem or whatever. There's just no respect given. And so I struggle a little bit because I know where it would lead to, as far as, you know, respect for church leaders or whatever. And I didn't want to beg for respect, so I struggled with that aspect of it. But if you'll just bear with me and listen to the scriptures this morning. Starting in 1 Peter 2, verses 13 and 17, 13 through 17. And you think about the government, when it comes to politicians, there's not a whole lot of respect for them. And if you go by what their actions are, they don't really deserve it. But yet, the Bible has something to say about it. It says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we are supposed to submit to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether to king or as supreme, or to governors. So you're talking about those who are in authority over us, the leaders of our country. Romans 13, 1 through 7 also talks about this. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We're supposed to obey the laws. Why? Because God has put them in authority. God has appointed them. You know, we have elections, but God is still in control through all these things. God moves through all these things. So when you resist the authority, you resist God. It's very clear. Resist the ordinance of God. A video just came to my mind, and I should have had Jeremy put it on. I think Jay shared it a while ago. It was two cops, and they were making this video, and they were talking about how to get out of a speeding ticket, or to avoid a speeding ticket. And they said, it's this simple little thing that you do. And they went over and they showed the speed limit sign, and they said, this right here, don't go over that, and you won't get a speeding ticket. You know, it's very simple. This will get you out of all speeding tickets if you obey the speed limit sign. You know, if we obey them, it says that they're not there, for rulers are not a terror to good works. If you do something good, they're not a terror. But if you do evil, that's what they're there for. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do you want to do what is good? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. And, you know, I think President Trump seems like he's a little more open to, he does bash those who are against him, but also when somebody does something good, he's very quick to come out and to say, you know what, this guy did something right, this guy did something good, this guy saved a life, this guy did what is right. And there was a story on the news this week, and it happened, Spartanburg, Cowpens actually. But it says, a teen is accused of cursing and fighting deputies after a family member was arrested on assault charges after a crash, according to Spartanburg County Sheriff's Office report. It says troopers requested that the sheriff's office respond to the crash of a scene. This was on August the 21st, which was, I think, Tuesday maybe. They say an assault happened after the crash, and a person had been arrested. The family of the person arrested started showing up on the scene, and a 16-year-old began cursing and causing a disturbance on the side of the road, according to the report. The deputy told the teen he would be arrested if he didn't stop causing a disturbance. The teen then began yelling curse words. The deputy then told the teen he was under arrest, and the teen continued to walk away, saying he had freedom of speech. The deputy then grabbed the teen by the arm. The teen swung a punch away from the deputy and pushed back into the officer hard, according to the report. Another deputy grabbed the teen's other arm and tried to restrain him. The teen continued to fight and curse, and the deputy forced the juvenile to the ground. The teen kept resisting, but they forced his hands behind his back and put him in handcuffs. He kept trying to pull away and resisting as the deputies walked him back to the patrol car. The teen then tried to trip both deputies by kicking them in the legs, according to the report. The deputies had to wait for a transport for the teen. While they were waiting, the teen kicked the patrol car and continued to curse. When the transport got there, they put him in the patrol car, where he began to fight and kick the window in the back seat. Deputies pulled him out of the vehicle, where he continued to fight. They put a hobble on the teen's ankle to prevent him from breaking the window out of the patrol car, according to the report. The teen is a juvenile, so his name will not be released. He is charged with public disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, assault and battery, third degree, 2 counts. That is a teen that is completely out of control. Somewhere, somebody didn't teach him to respect his authorities. Somebody didn't teach him what was right. And while it is his fault, somewhere, somebody told him probably that the police were bad. And we have that so much in our country right now where I'm sure there are some bad apples in the group when it comes to cops. I'm sure there's some bad cops, and there's some cops that are out there because they're on a power trip. And there's some cops that do bad things in a split second, whatever it may be. But I often think of when things happen that the people that, say the shooting in Charleston, for example, where the cop shot the guy in the back. If the dude would have pulled over and would have stopped and been respectful, yeah, he would have went to jail because he had warrants out against him. But he ran and then he fought. The cop didn't do what was right. But yet, if we had respect, if he would have had respect for that officer in the blue lights, when he would have pulled over, he would have taken him to jail and he'd be out by now rather than dead. But we are to respect those in authority over us. Those, the government people. They're there for our good. I mean, it says if we do good, they're there to praise us. It says pay taxes. We hear a big thing about that this week also. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Trump's, campaign manager or whatever he was, he's going to jail for I don't know how many years, 10 years, 12 years, because he didn't pay his taxes. He hid money from the government. We don't want to pay him, but yet the Bible says taxes to whom taxes are due. We should pay him. Respect for our parents. We all know the Ten Commandments. Ephesians 6, 1-3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. We're supposed to honor our father and mother. Respect them. Give them what is due. As parents, we have to teach our children respect. If we want our children to be respectful, we have to be respectful as well to others that are around us, to those in authority over us. Our children are there watching what we do and what we say. If we don't like somebody that's in authority over us or whatever, if we don't like them, our children probably aren't going to like them either. If we want to fuss and complain about the police, our children probably are going to fuss and complain about the police as well. If we want to fuss and complain about the president, children are going to do the same. If we want to fuss about school teachers, leaders, preachers, children are going to do the same. Respect for church leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Then the verse 18 says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. You know, we've seen this morning we had Gordon here and Joel doing the ushering. You know, they're leaders. They're working with for the church. Respect them. Go where they tell you to. You know, I had to sit up here on the second bench this morning because Gordon told me to sit up in the second bench. Maybe that was I wanted to sit there. I didn't. But I guess I knew what was coming, so that's my bench you're sitting on, by the way. But, you know, give them respect. The superintendents, if they tell you to go somewhere, go do what they're doing. If they ask you to teach, show them respect. The Sunday school teachers, listen to what they had to say. It says, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, those who teach, those who preach. You know, the time that they spend in studying for the Sunday school lesson, and you know, give them the time. You know, so often, you know, it's like this. Got your phone out while somebody's in there trying to teach or whatever. That's disrespectful. Give them respect. You know, give them your time. Let them teach. You know, that's what they're been put in there for. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. It says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. It says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. As a leader here, it's not something that, and this is where I struggled with this because I knew it was coming, where it was going. It's not something that maybe we asked for, any one of us. We didn't campaign for it. We didn't go out and try to get the position that we're in. But yet, we want to do it to the best that we can do it. And maybe we don't make the right decisions all the time. But yet, we are doing the best we can. The leadership team doing the best we can to help the church. Hebrews 13, verse 17, says, obey them who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. You know, as ministers here, or ministers anywhere, leaders, they're like, kind of like parents, watching over you, and they're proud of our people. We are proud of our people. We love our people. If we see them doing something, we're just like, yep, he goes to our church. Yeah, he goes to our church. That one's one of ours. Yesterday, I had to think of it, you know, the boys were playing soccer, and I was like, yeah, those boys are mine, and you know, maybe only one of them scored a goal, but I was proud of all of them. You know, maybe if one of them had pitched a fit out on the field or sat there and cried, or you know, it wouldn't have been quite so proud. Maybe as the scripture says, it says, for that would be unprofitable for you. It's not because of something that they want to, you know, as a parent, if you take this verse here as a parent, it says, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. When a child acts up, you know, it's unprofitable for them. It's not a good thing for them when a child acts up. Give them the respect. Give leaders the respect wherever you go. You know, we've all seen that screaming child in Walmart that's pitching a fit because they want a certain toy. That child needs to learn respect. Sometimes it's my child that's asking for everything, not screaming and crying. But you know, when the answer is no, then they need to be respectful and say no, accept that. But sometimes it happens in a church as well, or wherever you may be, a business, whatever it is. If you want something, you want to do something a certain way, or something changes, and you don't like it, or something, you know, I think we've got some changes coming up in the Sunday school, maybe, talking about doing some changes, and it's going to be different, maybe, you know, whatever it is, just trying to do the best that can be done. And then the last one I have is respect for God. How do we respect God? And I counted up, I think I added up the hours in a week, and it's 168. And, you know, we can give him more hours than 2 hours on Sunday morning. Think about things that we can do for God. Malachi 1:6-14. God was talking to people here. I think it was they were giving offerings. And it says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, you're speaking to the priests. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? And it says, you offer defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. You know, they were dishonoring the tabernacle, the offerings, the sacrifices. God said to them, he said, give it to your governor, see if he likes it. How would he like it if you gave him, you know, this blind and lame and sick offering? No, he wouldn't like it either. It says, but now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. And you also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifice to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. You know, these people had these nice, perfect animals in their flock, and yet they were bringing these lame, sick animals because they didn't want to bring their very best to God. And, you know, that's one of the things that has always struck me about the sacrifices. They were to bring their very best and give it to God. The very best that they had, and give it to God so it could be killed, it could be sacrificed. And here they weren't. They were bringing the sick, the stolen, the lame. You know, it says, cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, and then he brings what is blemished. Sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. You know, how do we do that? Do we do that in our own lives? Do we not bring the very best that we have to God? Do we bring him our best, or do we just give him whatever we have left? Do we just, you know, thank you, Lord, for having a good day, amen, and lay our head on the pillow and go to sleep, and that's the only time we think about him all day? You know, God wants more from us than that. And then the last one I have is an example that we have of bringing their best. 1 Chronicles 29:8-16. It's toward the end of David's life, and he's laying up in store for the tabernacle to build the temple. And he's asked people to bring stuff in. And verse 8 says, and whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, O Father, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is mighty, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name.
But who am I, and who are your people? Who are my people that we should be able to offer this so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and all and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we prepared to build up you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. David was realizing where all this stuff came from and how the people were just giving back what they had given. And they gave their very best. You know, it says they brought their jewels. Whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury in the house. It says then they rejoiced because they were able to because they had offered willingly. They were happy to be able to give. And you know what? How do we give? Do we do that in our own lives? Do we willingly give the best that we have out of respect for God, because we love God, because we want to honor God? Do we give our very best, or do we? It's kind of like a job that we really love. You know, when you have a job you really love and you're really excited to go to work and you work hard all day and you're just happy to be there and you're so thankful for this job. Or is it a job where it's like, well, I'm going to do this today because I don't have anything else to do. And you go there and kind of do it halfways and keep looking at the clock and is it not 5 o'clock yet? It feels like it's 5 o'clock. It should have been 5 o'clock an hour ago. You know, is that the attitude that we have toward God, or are we willing to give our very best? You know, bring the precious stones. You know, bring our lives to God and say, God, you know, I want to give to you. It says, verse 14. It says, for all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. David realized where this all came from. He realized that God had blessed them and that they were just giving back out of the abundance that he had blessed them with. And I think we've all can say that we've been blessed abundantly in our lives, not just financially wise, but being able to grow up in a free country that we have. And being able to go to church all our lives and to, be able to serve God. So let's, as we go from here, try to be respectful to those in authority, those come in contact with. And, you know, oftentimes respect goes both ways, even respectful to people you see in the store, to the cashier. You know, employees at a store, if you're in their store, they're in authority over you. Whether you like it or not, it's their store. It's their job. It's what they've been given to do. So be respectful, and a smile or whatever goes a long way. All right, this is all I have. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and I want to thank you for your word that we have. Father, we've been shown to honor you. Father, you've spoken to me as I read these scriptures this week, as I studied. Father, I pray that it would speak to others as well, that to give respect where respect is due. Father, I pray that you would just be with us as we go from here. Father, I pray that you would just give us all a good week. Father, I think of Elvin as he's has to have surgery on his jaw. Father, I pray that you would just make it possible, make a time that would work and that it would be done quickly and be able to give him the relief that he needs. Father, I pray that you would be with them as they prepare to go to New York this week. Make his week good. Father, I pray that you would be with the camping this weekend. Father, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified by what is done there this weekend, and that we would have an enjoyable time together and grow closer to you. Father, I pray that you would just lead us and guide us this week. I pray a blessing on each one here for safety and Give us all a good week. In your name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.